This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. State lawmakers concluded the short session in time to make it back to their districts for the 4th of July holiday. The chambers adjourned late Friday night after passing a $22.3 billion budget plan. The budget gives raises to teachers and state employees. The measure now awaits Governor McCrory's signature. The budget wasn't the only item on the legislative agenda. Lawmakers also voted to make a small change to House Bill 2, and they voted down a measure to change Asheville City Council district lines. On the same day, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals declared redistricting in Wake County unlawful. Joining me now is WNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff Tabiri. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hi there, Frank.
Session is over, but the last day was not without a lot of activity, as it's, the last days often are. Let's start with that budget. What are the notable provisions?
$22.34 billion budget, as you mentioned. This came in the second consecutive year of a state surplus, so lawmakers stashed $475 million of that into the state's rainy day fund. They say good, conservative fiscal planning. They're ready for the next, or as ready as they can be for the next economic downturn. This budget bill also includes a 4.7% average increase for teachers, a little bit less of a raise for state employees, also some merit performance-based pay in there. As we've seen in recent budgets, not only dollars, but also some policy changes. And this was kind of a baby of the Senate's, and senators pushed forth a tweak that will increase the average, or not the average, but the standard deduction for married couples filing jointly from $15,500 to $17,500 over the next couple of years. Also, one more to give you is a measure that will cap tuition in the UNC system at three different campuses. Elizabeth City, UNC Pembroke, and Western Carolina caps it at $500 per semester. There's also a new measure in here that locks tuition rates in across the UNC system for entering students for eight semesters. So it's a thick budget, and those are some of the top line issues.
Those are the headlines. Let's get into some of the details, especially that rainy day fund. Some critics say, are saying, look, it's raining. Let's spend some of that money. There are some needs we have. Why are we putting it away? Talk about the pushback on the rainy day fund.
Yeah, Democrats, several Democrats noted that while this budget does provide raises to teachers an average of nearly 5%, if you consider last year when state lawmakers gave teachers a bump, a one-time bonus of $750, there are some teachers, primarily teachers who have been around a long time, we're talking 25, 30-plus years, who have actually received less money this year, will make less money this year than they did last year, because in the previous academic year, they had this $750 bonus. That obviously went away because it was a one-time bonus, and teachers of 30-plus years do not get a raise in this budget. And what some opponents are saying is that when you have a surplus, when you have enough money to play with and you're going to give teachers a raise, you should go ahead and give those who have been longest serving a raise. One other point of contention or criticism that we heard frequently, actually two quick ones. One was that there's really a need for more funding for pre-K programs, that there's a waiting list across the state, and there needs to be more funding from the perspective of some Democrats for that position, for those programs. And also state retirees, they've received previously just one cost of living adjustment across the last, I believe it's 7 years. And they received another one in this budget. It's a 1.6% cost of living increase. This is from a pension standpoint. But again, some Democrats said, that just doesn't really cut it.
A lot of drama at the end of the week about whether there would be changes to HB 2. We weren't sure that we were going to see any changes at all. There was a little tweak. Tell us about that.
Yet not a bathroom provision that was rolled back late Friday, early Saturday. Instead, it's the ability for folks to sue in state court, to have a level of recourse when they believe they've been discriminated against from an employment perspective. And that was something that's pretty far reaching that was included in the initial special session passed House Bill 2 a few months ago and has gotten certainly some criticism and dialogue over the past few weeks. It hasn't risen to the level of acrimony across the country that the bathroom provisions have. But this part of the bill that allows people again to sue in state court is something the governor has been pushing for. He issued an executive order back in April asking lawmakers to do something about it. So this is the compromise they reached, and it wasn't an easy compromise. There are a lot of Republicans who felt this was a good bill. This is a good piece of legislation. They came back into a special session to pass it, and they didn't really want to touch it. And there were, conversely, a number of Democrats who didn't want to meet Republicans on this and adjust it and potentially give them the headlines of HB2 fixed or HB2 rolled back. There are a lot of Democrats who voted against this tweak, saying that it just isn't enough. They only will be in support of a full repeal, which certainly isn't going to happen this year. And I would be surprised if this General Assembly ever rolls back HB2.
HB2, though, may be rolled back in the courts. One of many pieces of legislation passed by this legislature and since in the past few years that has gone to court. Interestingly enough, Friday, the legislature lost another lawsuit. This one, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals rejected lines drawn by the General Assembly for the Wake County Commissioners and Wake County School Boards. Tell us about that.
So the Fourth Circuit in Richmond, a three-judge panel, which has ruled on a couple of other occasions against laws passed by the General Assembly, ruled that the new boundaries for Wake County Commissioners and also Wake County School Board, these are two different measures that Republicans passed in 2013 and 2015, were unconstitutional, basically because they're not proportional from a population standpoint. And in terms of one person, one vote, these districts pack too many people into some areas and not enough into others. So in this ruling that came down on Friday, the three federal judges issued a permanent injunction saying that these maps really shouldn't be used in the November election. Now, you know, we have 4 months and 3 days until the election, but it's unclear what maps will be used in those Wake County Commissioner, Wake County School Board elections later this year, if they revert back to the older maps, if a federal judge is going to weigh in and kind of set the parameters for that. But yeah, it was interesting on Friday, and certainly a bit of irony as this decision comes down. A federal court saying, yeah, this redistricting measure that you all passed is not constitutional. Meanwhile, at the same time, lawmakers were looking at doing another redistricting measure, one that led to a lot of contention at the General Assembly. So some of this stuff, in some ways feels cyclical.
Well, the other one is the redrawing of Asheville City Council district lines. Senator Tom Apodaca proposed those changes. He is leaving the Senate. He's a Republican. And the measure failed, and that was unusual, and it came as a big surprise to everybody that Apodaca, a very powerful senator and a Republican, couldn't get his own party to agree. Joining me now is reporter Jeremy Loeb at WCQS in Asheville. Welcome, Jeremy.
Good to be here, Frank.
Tell us about that bill and what it would have done.
Well, Senate Bill 897, as you said, it would have split Asheville into districts. Now, currently, all the members of the Asheville City Council are elected at large. And so what this bill would have done is split Asheville into six districts for the purpose of electing those council members. And as you mentioned, the bill sponsor, Senator Tom Apodaca, he's from Henderson County, but he does represent a part of South Asheville. He has said that he's heard from his constituents in South Asheville who have complained that they haven't had a member on city council in as long as they can remember. And so this would address that.
Very interesting. We've got some tape from the process of passing this bill or not passing it. I want to start with a clip of Mike Speciale, who's a Republican. He's a Republican representative and this is in the committee. He's going to support the bill. So here he is speaking in support of a bill to send it out to the floor, Mike Speciale.
I don't like stuff like this coming up at the last minute. However, it's here, it's in front of us, and since I don't see anything out of the norm here, it does sound legitimate that they should have representation by district. I think what we need to do is, my opinion is that we should be looking at it in that context and leave the philosophical discussion to the floor about whether or not we do this or not. And so for that reason, I'm going to vote to support it.
Republican Representative Mike Speciale talking about supporting the bill in committee. His tone shifted by the time it went to the floor, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, and it's really interesting. It's really unclear as to when that shift occurred. because, you know, this was debated for over an hour. Now, at about 30 minutes in, Mike Speciale did raise his voice, and he was at this point against the bill. And it does sound like the debate over the bill started to shift his views on it. I think we have a clip of him speaking on the floor.
Here he is.
I wouldn't appreciate it if you all came through marching through my area and redistricting without my consent or my efforts or anything else. And this is what I'm seeing going on. This isn't about Republican. This isn't about Democrat. This isn't about ideology. This is about doing the right thing. And the right thing, okay, is to – this is – while it may have been classified an elections bill, the reality is it is a local bill.
And that's kind of a technical point he's making. It probably shouldn't have come up in the session if it was classified as one over another, but there was some shift. I've only got about 30 seconds left, Jeremy. What do you suppose happened in there? Because there were other passionate speech, Representative John Blust saying pointedly, look, I know this is a quid, he didn't use the term quid pro quo, but I know some of you won't get what you want from the other chamber if you don't vote for this. Well, I think you should do the right thing and not vote for it. He's a Republican, too. What was going on? What do you think happened to cause that shift?
Well, I you know, it's really hard to say, but it really does seem like the debate shifted people's opinions on the matter. Three amendments were voted down, offered by Democrats, and so it looked sure to pass. And then all of a sudden, people started debating, and people seemed to change their minds. It's an incredible thing. I've never heard anything like it. You know, our former colleague, Laura Leslie, who's now a Capitol reporter at WRAL, said also she's never heard anything like it before herself.
Stay tuned. Jeremy Loeb, a reporter for WCQS in Asheville, and Jeff DeBerry, WNC's Capitol Bureau Chief. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Just ahead, Black Feminist Theory in Everyday Life. We'll talk with Alexis Pauline Gums on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.